Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, August the 15th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the big book and we are on page 47, the fourth paragraph, besides a seeming inability to accept, and we'll be studying and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Judy M., the 12 Traditions, Summer D., and the readers of the text are Kathy Jo P., Karen R., and Kathleen O. And the share ID for Wednesday, August the 14th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,279. That's 13279. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, August the 15th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,283. That's 13283. Our newcomer greeter is Nan K., and the announcement is Janice P.M. Thank you all for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Judy M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Judy.
Hi, this is Judy M., recovering in Florida. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry our message, this message to alcoholics. We tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Judy M. And I will now Summer D to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Summer.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. This is Summer D., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from SoCal. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to serve today.
Thank you, Summer D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. And that's not the mute button on your phone, that is star 1. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 47. It's the last paragraph on the page, the fourth paragraph. Besides a seeming inability to accept, and comments will be on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to get us started. Good morning, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Besides a seeming inability to accept much on faith, we often found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice. Many of us have been so touchy that even casual reference to spiritual things made us bristle with antagonism. This sort of thinking had to be abandoned. Though some of us resisted, we found no great difficulty in casting aside such feelings. Faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. Sometimes this was a tedious process. We hope no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. So, Kathy Jo P. here, who grew up in a very religious family, who has a theology degree. Theology. I used to love to say the study of God when I told people what I was going to school for. And that study of God literally got me nowhere in my journey with my food addiction. Because studying God compared to surrendering to God or rejecting God doesn't help me at all. So I had it all figured out in my little head, but it never felt personal. It never felt active to me. And I was in OA in the 80s, which at that time, I would call myself religious. Big, huge difference between religious and spiritual. And I was in for about 7 years, pretty much abstinent, but I didn't feel that personal investment with God. And then I spent 22 years out of the room, and I came back about 7 years ago, 142 pounds overweight, and my life was a disaster. My life was, the food had beat me into a state of reasonableness. And I came back out of options. But at that time, I did not have God figured out at all. So I had no idea anymore. My study of God brought me in with no idea of who God was. And so I will tell you, if you ever want to put initials in your big book of my favorite quote, it's at the end of We Agnostics, and it is, draw near to God and he will reveal himself to you. And that's what I did. It does not say he will reveal himself to you if we draw near to him. So by drawing near to him, I had to put down all my alcoholic foods and my alcoholic food behaviors and my character defects and do those amends so that the heavens could open up and I could feel the sunlight of the Spirit. I did 61 amends. And every single day I work on those character defects that get in my way. And most recently, I was diagnosed with two health conditions that are very serious, one in regards to my trachea and one in regards to my heart. And I am drawing near to God like there's no tomorrow. I don't know how to do this, but I am doing it. And God is giving me that peace and comfort.
Time.
And I reach out to you guys to help me keep drawing near. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Kathy Jo P. And just remind everybody where we're at. We're on the bottom of page 47. Besides a seeming inability to accept, and we'll be reading that one paragraph only. And I will now take names of those who'd like to share.
Lisa G.
Lisa G. Who was after Lisa?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Paige B.
Who was that? Penny C.
Paige B.
Oh, Paige. Paige C. Donna B. Okay, Lisa G. Donna B. Paige C.
Paige B.
Oh, Casey.
No. Page B as in boy.
Page O B. Okay, I'll finally get it, Paige. You know, the hearing is going. Sorry.
Melanie C.
Oh, I got that one. Melanie C. Anyone else? Can take a couple more.
Gusty N.
Is that Gusty?
Yes.
G-U-S-T-M. All right. And one more?
N as in
N. Okay. Gotcha. Gusty. Okay.
Garrison M.
Garrison. Good. Okay. Garrison M. All right. I have Lisa G, Donna B, Paige B, Melanie C, Gusty N, and Garrison M. That went well. Okay. Lisa, you're up first, followed by Paige B. Lisa G.
Hey, Mo. Thanks for your service. This is Lisa G, recovering in Texas, and I'm very nervous. My hands are wet. Anyways, you know, I accepted a lot on faith for a long time, and then life happened. Mother died, then brother died, then father died, all young, and this was many, many, many years ago, and so yeah, I was handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice because I'd always believed in a higher power, but I could not understand, and I still don't understand why God would let that happen. So now the set-aside prayer is when I first learned that prayer, it really irritated me because I thought, how can I set aside everything I think I know and everything I think I know is right? I've been recovery for 11 years, but I am not recovered at this moment. So I stared and stared and stared about 3 weeks ago at step three. And the words that popped out to me are, as we understood him. As we understood him. And I thought, well, I don't understand him at all. I don't understand him at all. But I thought, okay, well, that's as I understand him. So I don't know. Something happened, and I thought, okay, God, I can go with you. Because I haven't trusted him in a long, 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 long time. And for the pain of the loss, I started doing lots of drugs. And I did, I was a drug addict, I would say, for a very long time. Right after my mom died, I started out and I just kept on going and it was accelerating. And then I got pregnant. And when I got pregnant, I quit doing drugs and just replaced it with food. And, trusting God was really hard, but I really feel like right now in the work I'm doing with my sponsor and with you guys and listening to you guys every day, I'm letting go of a lot of this anger that I have towards God. And I'm not trusting quite yet, but I am searching and I'm looking. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Lisa G., for getting us started. Donna B., followed by Paige B. Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I have in the side of my big book here a definition of obstinate. Stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action. And that definition is really powerful to me because it illustrates to me just digging my heels in and saying, I refuse. I just refuse to accept a differing opinion. I refuse to accept a differing approach. I refuse to consider that my thinking might be entirely inaccurate. And as it says later in the paragraph, food is a great persuader. The disease of bulimia and compulsive overeating was so painful and so destructive in my life and robbed me of so much that it did finally beat me into a state of reasonableness. Where I could be approached, where I could be questioned. The first Vision for You sponsor that I worked with, when I spoke to her, I said, I have a pretty solid program. I go to meetings, I make phone calls, I do a lot of work. I just don't have a spiritual program. And she said, if you don't have a spiritual program, you don't have a program at all. And today, I do not have a concept of God. I do not have a strong practice of the religion of origin that I was born in. But I do get on my knees every morning, and I ask God to keep me sober and abstinent and to direct my thinking and to relieve me of my prejudice. And I ask God to reveal himself to me, even while knowing God is doing his part. It's just me that has to open my eyes to see what is being revealed to me. Because God could and would if he were sought. And that seeking is a responsibility that sits on me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna B. Paige B, followed by Melanie C. Paige?
Good morning, Mo. My name is Paige B, and I'm calling in from the west coast of Florida. Oh, I'm a little nervous now. So I started in OA it's got to be like the better part of 35 years ago was my first experience with OA. And I was clearly an addict. And for whatever reason, it wasn't a good fit. So many, many years later, after recovering another program, I hit a physical bottom with the food and realized I'd been on a 30-something year bender. And for me, the higher power has entered into my life. God is entering into my life. The better I took my first step, the more I surrendered. Obstinacy was, it was a family joke, what a stubborn little girl I was, and never really changed. So I was separated from my alcoholic foods last February, in February 2018. And for me, I had a sufficient enough bottom to get abstinent and follow a food plan with the food, but continue to stay in the driver's seat of my own life and really had to spend time experiencing my train wreck without food, without my drug. And I finally have reached a sufficient enough bottom where my mind finally opened and that I could let go of the old ideas and the old justifications. And really, it came flooding in that I have been mistaken and that I need to find anything, something other than myself to guide my life, because I, eating or not, am a train wreck, you know. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Paige B, Melanie C, followed by Gusty N.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Mo. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Wilsonville, Oregon today. I just am settling into this. You know, this whole chapter is about finding that power, finding that spirit, that thing that's within, and differentiating between my head, you know, and my heart, my mind being analytical, my heart and my soul, you know, being where this power is, which was so critically underdeveloped. And so, of course, I had stopped or never even learned how to consult it in any way, shape, or form. And it was never a go-to, except in those moments where I needed to have some sort of magic pixie dust delusional kind of hope being brought in, because I had lost all hope. There's no hope. And if there's no hope, or at least in my mind, there's little to no faith whatsoever. So I had decided analytically that I wouldn't access anything quite like that. And I remember the fateful day that the disease, of course, had gotten worse and worse and worse. And it would be that kind of thing that finally alcohol had its way with me. And that is that I was sitting there in that room and I had nowhere else to turn but to go back to OA and confront this thing with my tail between my legs and consider this idea. But even in these rooms in those first several months, I honestly thought, and I grabbed hold of the idea that I could just kind of close my eyes to spirit, you know, and consider something else. You know, folks were talking about all kinds of different ways, and I still couldn't even get there. I felt like I could get through this without any of that sort of stuff. And I see now that it was that obstinance in me, that fear that had to hang on so tightly to that last little bit that I knew was Melanie, because I was gone. I was completely gone, and I was no faith that there was, or reasonable thinking that there was going to be anything outside of Melanie that was going to do anything. And if I were to surrender that part, I would be completely, completely gone. Well, in the hindsight, I can see that was that clutching, and they talk about it being obstinacy in here, unreasoning prejudice, but all those things were built out of trying to protect myself. And when this came through and the entire abstinence was in place and the treatment started on the twisted thinking that got me so broken in that way, the floodgates opened to what was natural and normal and authentic within me, which was to start the process. And sometimes it was tedious on both sides, getting through what I was believing and how I was going to become believing. how I was going to shift to be leaving. It's been a wonderful, miraculous thing. And you know, this higher power locked the door on me so I wouldn't try to find a loophole and a way out. And the fellowship continues to pour into me so that mind and that parallel life can continue to blossom and bloom. And it's been absolutely phenomenal. Thanks, I'll pass.
Yeah, perfect timing. Thanks, Melanie. Gusty N, followed by Garrison M. Gusty.
Good morning, everyone. This is Gusty N in upstate New York. I would have said I'm recovered compulsive eater, but I broke my abstinence this week, and so now I'm back to step one, and boy, does that handicapped by obstinacy speak to me this morning. That's really the character defect that I needed to be reminded of today. And it occurs to me as the definition of obstinacy is shared, the stubbornness piece of what obstinacy is about, that I can remember so vividly in my family that stubbornness was actually considered a character asset, that we prided ourselves in our whole family, all six of us, of being stubborn Swedes, and that was just part of our heritage and we celebrated it. And wow, look at where it's gotten me. So here we are, back to step one, back to not wanting to admit that there are certain foods and certain eating behaviors that I just don't get to participate in anymore. I want to, and I get mad because I can't, or I say that I can anyway, and then the cycle continues. So I just am grateful that you all are here for those of us who relapse and need to start over, and am very much praying that this is the gift of desperation that will be the last straw. So thank you again, and with that I pass.
And thank you, Gusty N. Before I call on Garrison, I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're at on page 47, the fourth paragraph, down at the bottom of the page, besides a seeming inability to accept, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. After Gusty, I will take more names. Good morning. No, not Gusty. After Garrison, I will take more names. Good morning, Garrison.
Hi, this is Garrison, compulsive overeater in Maryland. And oh, I'm looking at the big book on my phone, and I had it up, but of course now it's eluding me. Anyway, it's been a long time since I have been on a vision meeting, and I guess there are things in that paragraph that that actually are like contributing to my I guess lack of willingness to accept this solution. And so it is becoming quite a tedious process for me to try to be abstinent, try to get abstinent. You know, I just it's like I see nutritionists and you know, people just don't really buy into this idea that you know, that we need to eliminate certain foods completely, and certain ingredients. So it's really quite tricky in between my two ears, and I know that I have had freedom in the past, and at the time I was comfortable with saying that I was recovered, although I don't feel so comfortable saying or really hearing that anymore, because it doesn't seem like this ever goes away. But I do know the concepts that people are referring to in the big book. So I am definitely struggling to define my abstinence. I go to a lot of regular OA meetings, and I'm just struggling. And I guess that's all I'll say. Okay, thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Garrison M. I will now open the lines up for those who'd like to share on this one paragraph.
Julie E.B.
Julie.
Cindy D.
Cindy.
Sherry K.B.
Sherry K.B.
Mary M.
Mary M.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Susan H.
Susan H. We'll stop with you, Susan. Hope we get to you. We'll try. All right. I have Julie E.B., Cindy D., Sherry K.B., Mary M., Bruce E., and Susan H. Julie E.B., please get us started. Thank you.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by God's grace one day at a time today in Colorado Springs. And, boy, I'm looking at mountains that are bigger than me. I'm looking at a sky that's bigger than me, trees that are bigger than me. And when I'm in my disease, all I see is what's inside of me, trying to think my way into right acting, which just doesn't work, you know. And, boy, do I have sensitivity? Do I have obstinacy? Do I continue to see these things plaguing me? Unreasoning prejudice, the idea that I can do this myself, it's so easy in this program, you know, put down the food, work the steps, and there's just a whole new point of view. And the truth is that I'm powerless. And that can be the best news of my day or the worst. Yesterday I met with my boss, and she ran through some problems I'm having, stepping on toes, and guess what? It's like, what do you think this is about? And it's like, well, selfishness, self-centeredness is the root of my problem, driven by a thousand forms of fear. I didn't say it quite that way, but, you know, that's my disease. And God's giving me another avenue, not a corrective action, nothing bad on my resume, but a boss who sees this gently and actually prays with me when I'm done. And I was able to enter the meeting hoping that God would fit me for usefulness and effectiveness, as the 10th step says. So, yes, did I have a pity party? Yes, did I feel like so many of us feel, that we're just too much, that our feelings are too much, our thoughts are too much, there's just too much of me, and into the self-loathing and perfectionism that keeps me in emotional inebriety. But I tell you, not going back to the food gives me some feelings, sure does, but I have fellows here on the line that have been there for me, giving me 10, 11, 12. And so today, in step 11, I'm just asking for the next right action and exactly what I need. And in step 12, I'm hoping to be of service to you. So if you're still face down in the food, or you're still struggling with character defects because you're human, feel free to reach out and call. And it is a beautiful life. As it says, I used to have bad years, and then bad months, then bad days, then bad hours. That's how I feel today. If you would have told me that I could take so many concrete examples, today I see them as a gift and a way that God is helping me to be willing to let go of these things that are blocking my relationships with others. Thanks for letting me share. And, yeah, I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie E.B. Cindy D., followed by Sherry K.B. Cindy. Good morning.
Thanks, Mo. Good morning. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And, you know, I was thinking back to when I came back to OA 14 months ago, and I thought, oh, this God thing. Okay, I'm going to give it a try. Because 30 years ago, I just couldn't relate to the God. And I was one of those people that the big book talks about that bristle anytime someone would mention God or their faith to me, and I'd get angry and I wouldn't want to talk about it because I really had turned my back on him. And today, you know, thank God I have God in my life. Thank God I have God. and, you know, he got me recovered. I'm, you know, 14 months into this, and I am finding that I get back in my head. I go into self-pity. I go into my crazy thinking, and I have to work harder to get back to surrender and to giving myself to God. And I like this little prayer I learned at a workshop that said, you know, God, I surrender myself to you. Please take care of everything. And that's what I need today, is I need him to take care of everything, and he does. And I just have to remember to trust that. And, you know, I have good days and I have bad days, just like any relationship. But I'm going into, as I shared last week, surgery next Monday, my fourth one since March, for a problem that I've had as a result of my disease and choices I made. And, you know, I'm choosing to believe that God brought me through recovery so I can deal with this in a healthy way. I'm healthier physically and emotionally than I've been in many, many, many years. And that's because of the healing power of God. It's not because of anything I've done. And I'm so grateful, and I rely heavily on my fellows when I'm going through a time like this for their wisdom and their strength. And to remind me, you know, that the feelings are going to be uncomfortable, and they are stronger now than they used to be. And I look forward to the times when this will feel less and less like a struggle. I know it will always be work. I have to work it every single day, and I'm willing to do that because I'm worth it. And my days now are still so much better than they were before coming to program. So for anyone else who struggles out there, just know that, you know, there are miracles. Every one of us on this line that talk about being recovered are a miracle because we haven't done it ourselves. That power that's so much bigger, so much that I can't even fathom what that power is, he's responsible for this. So anyway, with that, I'm going to pass and give it back to you, Mo. Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you, Cindy D. Sherry KB, followed by Mary M. Sherry?
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line. Welcome, newcomers. Thank you, Team Thursday. You know, just listening to everybody, I'm just going to go through some of this. You know, in the first sentence, it says, seemingly inability to accept much on faith. Well, before we heard about the seeming inability to leave it alone. And so what I'm hearing with this, you know, seeming inability to leave it alone, seeming inability to accept much on faith, guess what's going on there? My self-will, okay? We've all been talking about stubbornness and everything and obstinacy. And, you know, another definition of obstinacy, if you look in the Big Book Dictionary, it says, inflexible self-willed resistance. So here I am, you know, all of this is telling me, Sherry, you know, you've been running the Sherry Show and it really hasn't been working for you. I mean, can you tell by now that it doesn't work for you, that you're being unreasonable with your self-will, thinking that you can do this by yourself? That, and then I'm getting direct directions here that it says this sort of thinking had to be abandoned. I have to stop thinking that I can figure this thing out and do it by myself, because I have proved to myself over and over and over again that I can't do this by myself, and yet my disease will tell me I can. That's the problem. Casting aside my such feelings and ideas, I have to set aside everything that I know, everything. I have to change just one thing, everything. Otherwise, I'll be face down in the food again, face down with alcoholic, you know, compulsive overeating destruction. That I have to keep an open mind on asking God for help. I was in my face-to-face meeting last night, and somebody was new in the meeting and said, you know, I'm just going to try to keep an open mind. And I said, well, I can save you decades of problems, you know, around this disease if you're willing to, you know, do the step work. It'll change your life. Instead of thinking you can do this all by yourself, if you do keep an open mind and have a higher power in your life to help you with this and the 12 steps, it'll change your life. But you know what? I didn't listen. I had these old ideas that I could do this by myself. And I can't do this by myself because I was beaten to a state of reasonableness. And, you know, I hope that people that are listening on the line don't have to go as far as I did to go through what I did in order to put the food down and get into the step work and get unblocked and get connected to a power greater than ourselves. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Mary M., followed by Bruce E. Mary? Press star 1, Mary, to unmute.
Hi, this is Mary M. from Connecticut. Good morning, visionaries, and grateful for recovery this morning and for all of us who are on the lines this morning. God bless you. I think the thing that comes to me in this passage is I'm grateful that God has a vision for me. And I too, you know, if you look and if I look back and said to myself, would I be grateful for being beaten into the state of reasonableness, I'd say, heck no. But today I can say I'm grateful. And just knowing that God has a vision for me. And I had my own vision for myself. I had my own vision of what I wanted for my family, what I wanted for myself, my, you know, my career, my life, my retirement. And I'm learning today that it's not about me, that really it's about God and what God has for me. And I was in and out of the rooms for 25 years and didn't understand that this was even a spiritual program, you know, because I already had my spirituality. I had my God. I had my faith. And I didn't want anybody tampering with that, not realizing that God wanted to build on that, that God wanted to be, that God wanted to lead that and guide me and direct me spiritually. And have me be more connected to him and have that more of that daily conscious contact with him. And so that's what I would just share with people. I also didn't know that I needed to be entirely abstinent. You know, I thought, I was just sharing with a sponsee this morning that I always wanted in the back of my mind, even though I was in and out of the rooms and when I was trying to work the program, I was never entirely abstinent, and I would always say one day, in the back of my mind, I always said, one day I can have just a little bit of chocolate or a little bit of ice cream and be able to manage that. That's what really was going on for me for about 25 years, never really surrendering, never really knowing what. It wasn't really until vision, listening to vision, that I even heard entirely abstinent, what that meant, and having a sponsor work with me around that. And gives me tapes and recordings on what it meant to be entirely abstinent. And I could see so many areas where I couldn't get abstinent and stay abstinent. So I'm just so grateful for the fact that God does have a vision for me, and that vision is unfolding. But I do know that that vision is being a part of this fellowship. It's a vision that accepts that I have a disease, I have an illness of a compulsive overeating. It's the vision that I need to be entirely abstinent. It's a vision that God has a vision for me as a parent. You know, I was sharing with my my sponsor today as well that
time.
So with that, I'll pass. Thank you. And
hey,
have a blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary M. Bruce E., followed by Susan H. Bruce, good morning.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Bruce E., I'm in North Carolina, 4 months of recovery, been recovered for 4 months now. Besides a seeming inability to accept much on faith, well, so I had a faith when I got into OA 29 years ago, and then I struggled and relapsed for 29 years, and because I didn't put the alcoholic foods down mainly, and I didn't really work this program like my hair was on fire, get a sponsor and do it with him. But so I had a faith 29, 30 years ago, and I had a faith when I got into vision 2 years ago. And but God, like I heard earlier, God wanted to build on that faith. So that's all right. You know, that's okay. I don't have to have all the faith at one time. It can grow, right, as I work this program. I think God wanted me to, you know, go into more depth on this and gain and grow. Handicapped by prejudice, sensitivitousness, and stubbornness. Well, that's it. That's me. That's some character defects that I've got. And, man, they will keep me from making progress like crazy. Yeah, I bristled with antagonism. Somebody acted like they had more than I had. You know, spiritually, I'd bristle. This thinking had to be abandoned. I had to give that up. Been trying to give, still trying to give that up. Still having a rough time with judging people and stuff like that, judging people's faith. Where do they stand? You know, I've been surrendering that, writing 10 steps on that. Well, faced with alcoholic destruction, well, that's what got me into vision. That's what got me into OA. That's what got me into getting recovered was the food was destroying me. You know, I just couldn't do this thing by myself. So I faced that alcoholic destruction, caused me to be more open-minded, accepting spiritual matters, especially God. I heard recently about, I always thought God, you know, I pray for the power and God gives me the power and it works through me and then I get abstinent or I get help other people, but I'm hearing that. No, doesn't work that way. God just comes and does it. He's got the power. He just comes and does it. If I did it myself, then I'd be God, wouldn't I? I have a problem with playing God, too. Tedious process. We hope no one else will be prejudiced as long as some of us were as prejudiced for a long time. Still have some prejudice. Still getting rid of it. But prejudiced about this program, you know, really working it like my hair is on fire. And, nobody has to go as long as I went. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Susan H.
Good morning. This is Susan H., a recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. I'm very grateful to have caught my chance to speak a little bit, to speak my truth. This paragraph is so deep and wide, and it just says so much. Obstinacy, that it describes me. That was me. That was me. But I was still loved, even obstinate, bristling at the mention of a higher power or of spiritual things. But I was still loved. Definitely eventually beaten to a state of reasonableness. Touchy, sensitive, very, very much so. What I wanted to say is that I've been brought through it one little step at a time by trusting that what is going on is my higher power's will. And listening, when I need to listen, and I've had so much to listen to here. In this process, may I let go of that obstinacy, that attitude of I must fix this because I can't, and I know I can. My higher power can. He is the most patient teacher, and I'm learning every day. When I rely on him, each lesson, each is it odd or is it God moment, is such a joyful experience. I'm not really used to such joyful experiences, and for that I am totally grateful. It wasn't so much about the food. It was really about me, and I'm just very grateful to have a higher power in my life that has helped me see the joy. And I will pass.
And thank you, Susan H. Now we have 1 minute if someone has a burning desire. If not, we will close our meeting. Okay. All right. So thank you all for your shares, all those who gave service on this meeting. Great meeting. Once again, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Karen R. please read a vision for you?
Hi, this is Karen. Compulsive overeater, anorexic woman in North Carolina, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.